Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're done. All right. Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. After a year of a number of rather negative stories about teachers, we've got something on the positive side. Retiring teachers leaving as legends. TriPoint Safer and PBL's wife to end their remarkable careers once the school year concludes. Scott Safer, everything Bill Nye, the science guy, is. TriPoint school district officials made Scott Safer an offer he could not refuse. Like a college football or basketball coach making a pitch to an athlete they wanted to play for them, they sweetened the offer for Safer to return as the upper elementary junior high school science teacher. They promised to repurpose a 2,000-square-foot former shop and agricultural area into the science lab, and Safer would also get to teach in the same building as his wife, Akiko, the school's art teacher. He jumped at it. He loved the idea, Superintendent Jay Bennett said. The hire couldn't have worked out better, according to the administrator. But it's time for that hire to end. 7 years after returning to TriPoint, after having previously taught at TriPoint as a gifted teacher before a stint as a science teacher in the Prairie Central School District, the 54-year-old Safer will retire at the end of this school year. Both Bennett and Safer said the move back to TriPoint has been a good one. Is as close to your wild scientists as you're going to get as a teacher, Bennett said. He is everything Bill Nye the science guy is. You never know what he's going to be doing. Don't get the wrong impression, though. Safer does not have Albert Einstein hair and does not yell, "Great Scott," and climb clock towers during lightning storms like Doc Brown's character in Back to the Future. Surprisingly, we've only had the smoke alarm go off once for him, Bennett said. I'm rather shocked that that number is what it is. Bennett said Safer is not your traditional textbook and paper guy. He's the type of teacher that students who might struggle with behavior or focus issues in other classes respond to well, according to Bennett, because he's hands-on. Safer said he cannot stand boredom. That is, seeing students sitting in class uninspired, not doing anything exciting. So the goal is to keep them active and get them moving, making things. Safer students do focus on technology, but most of it is hands-on, making things out of wood, making things in the shop. There's also an element where they can learn to cook. It's just so important to figure out what they can do with their hands. Free up their practical skills, Safer said, in the process, perhaps expose them to something they did not realize that would be good at and enjoy. Safer is also big on nature and prairie preservation and enjoys introducing his students to the wonders of the natural realm. Having formerly worked for the U.S. Forest Service and the Illinois Natural History Survey off and on for many years, he immersed himself in the study of wildlife, including amphibians, birds, and insects. Teaching science pulled all that together, Safer said. It lets me do those crazy things outside with the kids. Or we can do things like prairie restorations, or plant trees, or go look at insects. And I can bring the stories I've got, the experiences I've got. Safer's educational journey started at the University of Illinois, but he was unable to decide what he wanted to do to make his life work. It took me 6.5 years to get my undergrad degree, Safer said. I went to Idaho to work for the Forest Service. We were doing a stream restoration with some 4-H kids. All of a sudden, I knew what I wanted to do. Safer had told his mother, who had been a teacher for 37 years in the Chenoa School District, that he had no desire to teach. But the teaching light bulb came on when he worked with the youngsters in Idaho. She thought it was hilarious when I told her I was going to teach, Safer said. Safer's adventures out west included 9 years teaching on reservations in New Mexico and Arizona. He wanted out of Illinois because, as he explained, I needed adventure and I needed mountains. In the process, he learned so much about Native American culture and history. He immersed himself in ceremonies, visiting sweat lodges, and worked with elders and medicine men. I taught astronomy a lot, Safer said. I would get the elders to tell stories, and we'd have star parties at night and have campfires afterwards. The star party experience is something he has continued to host in Kempton, Bennett said. Before exposing himself to the western states, Illinois' nature life didn't have much lure for Safer. He's changed his mind. I came back and realized what a cool thing prairie was, he said. It didn't click until I was driving around looking for wild places and found Sibley Grove and Paxton's Prospect Cemetery and the little places, including Pine Ridge Cemetery near Loda. Safer returned to Illinois to be closer to his parents in their later years. Bennett said Safer was given carte blanche to revitalize the science program at TriPoint, and he has gone above and beyond, and that includes developing the lab area. It's pretty top-notch, Bennett said. It's a huge lab for junior high, and it has lab tables, traditional shop tables, full working kitchen in addition to his classroom. So he really took that and ran with it. Safer's ability as an educator was further validated by remarks from students, parents, and other educators. The official validation came when he was selected as among 30 finalists for the Golden Apple Award for Excellence in Teaching in 2023, which he said was a great honor. It did a lot for me to verify that something we were doing is working, Safer said. Safer said his time back at TriPoint has been a great experience, and to show kids you can go out and get some good adventures and some interesting things. There's good things here if you look for them, he said. In retirement, Safer said he wants to do more work in prairie outreach to schools and get kids outdoors. He also plans to help his friend Dan Gardner, who is 94, manage the prairie that Gardner started in the area. It takes so much energy to fight invasive species, Safer said. That will take a lot of work. Safer would also like to see prairie areas established around other school districts. Next we have, from For or About, Mike White, PBL High School Agriculture Teacher. Passing on his passion for ag over generations. After 32 years of teaching agriculture and serving as FFA Chapter Advisor at Paxton Buckley Loda High School, Mike White is graduating, as he calls it, at the end of this school year. I'm looking forward to it, the retiring White said. I know that I'm going to miss the people, the daily interactions with students and staff, and the administration, and everybody involved here at the school. I know I'll miss that. But I'm ready to try something new. I've had a long career here, and I feel like I'm ready to do something different. White began teaching at PBL High School in 1994, the year after he graduated from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign with a degree in agricultural education. White, who taught at Belvedere High School prior to coming to PBL, completed his master's degree in 1997 at UIUC. A native of the small town of Assumption, south of Decatur, White said he has taught almost every ag class offered at PBL in the past 3+ decades, including ag mechanics, ag construction, introduction to ag, ag business and horticulture. The only one he has not taught is ag mechanics and technology, he said. His students have spanned generations of families, too. My parents had him as a teacher, and now I have him, so I think it's very weird to think about, said student Ethan Williams. White said he is passionate about the topics he teaches, and he tries to show that in his lessons. For the vast majority of what I'm teaching, I'm passionate about, White said. There are some topics that are abstract and boring, but I try my best to bring enthusiasm to those lessons. I often think that sometimes the students will feed off that, and they'll see this is something I'm passionate about. To his students, White is known as an excellent teacher. When it's time to get serious, he is serious, Williams said. But at the same time, he loves joking around with us. Overall, he is an amazing teacher and someone you can rely on, added senior Kylie Williams. He's super funny and inviting. I've only had him for a year, but he's a super good teacher, student Elijah Tabor said. He really cares about his students. He's very comical. He knows how to keep his students' attention. I honestly wish I took more classes with him because overall he's a really good person. White said seeing his students, including those of all learning abilities, go on to see success is rewarding. As just one example, he recalled how one of his students, a young man who qualified for special ed services, worked hard both in and outside of the classroom and eventually ended up placing third in the state and in the top 25 nationally in an FFA event. It was just awesome and very rewarding to see that. Through the Ag program, students of all abilities can find a place and have success, White said. I'm going to look back on that as one of my fondest memories of teaching. Another is seeing nine of his former students go on to become ag teachers themselves. One is fellow PBL high school ag teacher Kristen Wyatt, who joined White at the annual Illinois Education Association Friends and Advocates Banquet in Urbana on Monday, April 27th, to see the retiree honored by the PBL Education Association. There are two or three more who are studying at this point to do that, White said. To me, that's kind of cool that they've seen that while this profession is a challenge, hopefully they've identified that it can be a very rewarding job as well. That they've gone ahead and pursued it themselves as a career, to me, that's pretty rewarding. Decades ago, White himself decided to become an agriculture teacher. He credited one of his former teachers, Charles Clausen, with influencing his career path. The reason I wanted to become a teacher was because of the influence from a lot of the teachers I had, White said. They were able to help other students and me. I wanted to return that to others. Clausen, in particular, just poured into us, White said. He gave us opportunities that we didn't have elsewhere in the building. And that article was written by Lily Young, a Ford County County Chronicle news reporter and intern and aspiring professional journalist who graduates later this month from Paxton Buckley Loda High School. And also on the front page, we have some municipal news from Gibson City. Starting with its downtown, the city to begin branding itself. GGAEA Chamber look to bring in more visitors. Gibson City. As executive director of the Greater Gibson Area Economic Alliance, Matt Burns' philosophy for improving the economy of Gibson City and the surrounding areas is to start as close to home as possible and then slowly branch out over time. Home, as Burns calls it, is the Western Ford County community's historical downtown, from its shops and restaurants to its events and attractions, plus everything in between. The business district on brick-lined Sangamon Avenue is still a popular shopping destination, especially for the city's 3,600 residents, Burns said. But it is not bringing out in the out-of-town visitors if historically did prior to the COVID-19 pandemic's arrival in spring of 2020. Fairly recently, we subscribed to Placer.ai, which is software that takes cell phone data and allows us to really map how people are using our public spaces, how people are engaging with our businesses, who we're capturing as visitors, where they're coming from, all of that, Burns said. And we found out that our downtown has lost about 40% of the visitors we had pre-pandemic. We've just not been capturing out-of-towners like we used to. Pretty jarring data, Burns said, revealed that Gibson City's downtown saw more than 357,000 visits of more than 10 minutes by 64,000 visitors during the last year, with total visits down by 6.5% from the year prior. Meanwhile, nearby Paxton's downtown, which Burns calls one of the best performers, saw a huge spike in the other direction, drawing 543,000 plus visits by more than 90,000 visitors, with that city's visits up by nearly 56%. The huge drop-off in these visitors hasn't been from locals, though, Burns noted. Locals have always supported local business and made that a priority to support local businesses. With the goal of attracting more out-of-towners, Burns' organization, known as the GGAEA for short, has teamed up with the Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce to hire a Chicago-based agency called A5 Branding and Digital to develop a branding campaign specifically for Gibson City's downtown. The goal with our branding campaign would be to create a sense of place locally to get people excited about the downtown, to make it a place to spend some time, to make it a place to gather and meet people with, and then the larger goal to make it a place to attract the out-of-towners, Burns said. Burns noted that Gibson City already has a huge number of visitors every day, many who come to the city to work at Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services and other businesses during the daytime. So the goal will be to encourage them to shop downtown too while they are in town. Our town as a whole has not lost 40% of the visits we used to get, Burns said. Tons of people are coming up to Gibson City each day. And actually, we're doing better than ever. As far as the number of people who are in Gibson City during the day, our census population is 3,500, and we have almost twice that as our daytime population. So people are coming. People are building connections to our area. Our goal with the branding campaign is to intentionally cultivate that connection and get those visitors, if they're coming to visit the hospital or visit the Harvest Moon Drive-In movie theater, or many of the other things that we've got going on in town, to also swing by the downtown and spend their dollars there. Burns said he attended several conferences related to economic development in small towns in Illinois during the past year, and a consistent theme with these different communities that have really turned it around over the last 10 years or so has been community branding and building a sense of place. During the conferences, Burns said the name of A4 Branding kept coming up time and time again as a result of the agency's previous work to develop a branding and tourism campaign for Oregon, a city of 3,600 in Ogle County in northern Illinois. Using the catchy slogan of "All Trails Lead to Oregon," the campaign promotes the city's outdoor recreational opportunities along the Rock River, including hiking, kayaking, and its thriving arts and cultural scene, great dining, and small-town appeal. Impressed, Burns said he contacted the agency's John Harris, who later visited Gibson City a handful of times to look at branding our community as a whole. Eventually, the focus shifted to a branding campaign solely for the downtown, to start anyway, Burns said. We thought it would be better to start close to home. With the economic lines, our main philosophy has been to start as close to home as possible and then slowly branch out over time and reach the entirety of the greater Gibson area. So we're starting with the downtown. As part of the downtown branding initiative, an advisory committee is being formed to provide input throughout the process. The committee, comprised of local business owners and community members, will weigh in on the different proposals presented by A5 Branding for how we're going to talk about ourselves. Byrne says he doubts there will be any difficulties filling the committee spots. Everyone's been on board with the initiative, Byrne said. I mean, any opportunity to get people excited about the downtown, they are fully committed. While a timeline for completing the branding campaign is only tentative, Byrne said he hopes to get some elements of this completed before Gibson City's downtown hosts its America 250 celebration on Saturday, July 11th. Right now, part of the timeline is being developed based on how quickly we can get different people in the advisory committee on board, Byrne said. But again, there's an unbelievable amount of local buy-in and people are excited about it. After the downtown branding campaign is launched, Byrne said the GGAEA may potentially work further with A5 branding to begin branding the town as a whole, then the surrounding area too, or even all of Ford County. Burns will give a presentation about the branding campaign during the Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce next general meeting at noon, Thursday, May 7th, at Marks on First on First Street. During the meeting, Burns plans to review some of the Placer.ai data compiled by Gibson City native Ryland Holt, who was hired by the GGAEA this spring to work on that specific task from overseas where he plays basketball professionally. He's been big on getting us this downtown data to really diagnose how our downtown has changed based on visitors, visits, and the income levels of those visiting, Burns said. He's a slam dunk hire. I couldn't be any happier having him on our team. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, May 6th. Daniel J. Breeden, Gibson City. A celebration of life for Daniel J. Breeden, 52, of Chatsworth, will be from noon to 3 p.m., Saturday, May 9th, at Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 6289 in Gibson City. Mr. Breeden, who worked as a carpenter for many years in the Chatsworth area, died Friday, April 10th at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. Memorial contributions may be made to his family. Larry Lee Fisher, Onarga. Larry Lee Fisher, 89, of rural Gilman, died Tuesday, April 28th. At Heritage Health in Hoopston. Funeral services were held Thursday, May 7th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga with the Reverend Vicki Killis officiating. Burial followed at the Onarga Township Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made to the Onarga Historical Society or the Onarga United Methodist Church. Marilyn Kempel, Ridgely, Tennessee. Marilyn Kempel, 94, of Ridgely, Tennessee, formerly of Gibson City and Bloomington, died Friday, April 10th at Signature Healthcare in Ridgely. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Vicki Sue Krause, Champaign. Vicki Sue Krause, 80, a native of Ford County, died Wednesday, December 24th, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, surrounded by her family. A celebration of her life will be from 2 to 5 p.m., Saturday, May 9th, at the Elks Club in Savoy. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in her name to the Champaign County Humane Society. Rebecca L. McNew, Gilman. Rebecca Lynn, Becky McNew, 68, of Gilman, formerly of Paxton, died at 11:16 p.m., Saturday, May 2nd, at her home, surrounded by her family. Private family services will be held at a later date. memorials may be made to the Glioblastoma Foundation. Vernon P. Shedd, Ludlow. Vernon P. Shedd, 75, of Ludlow, died at 10:17 a.m. Sunday, May 3rd, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday, May 10th, at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton. Memorials may be made to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Sandra Joy Schubert, Gibson City. Sandra Joy Schubert, 84, of Gibson City, died on the evening of Wednesday, April 29th, at Goldwater Care of Gibson City, surrounded by her family. A celebration of her life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, July 11th, at the Sydney United Church in Sydney. Memorial contributions may be made to the family. Marva D. Stouffer, Onarga. Marva Dawn Stouffer, 70, of Onarga, died Tuesday, April 28th, at her home. A celebration of life service was held Sunday, May 3rd, at the United Methodist Church in Melvin. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Richard C. Strebeck, and that's spelled S-T-R-E-B-E-C-K, Gibson City. Richard C. Strebeck, 91, of Gibson City, died Thursday, April 23rd, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Friday, May 22nd, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, followed by funeral services at 1 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be at Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City, where military honors will be accorded. Memorial contributions may be made to a charity of the donor's choice. James Jim Streens, and that's spelled S-T-R-E-E-N-Z. Gibson City. James Jim Streens, 91, of Gibson City, died Saturday, April 25th at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. Funeral services were held Friday, May 1st at the Calvert Belange Bruce Funeral Home in Saybrook. Interment was followed in Riverside Cemetery, again in Saybrook. Memorial donations may be made to the Gibson Area Hospital Annex. Gary W. Stroh, Cropsey. Gary W. Stroh, 72, of Cropsey, died Wednesday, April 29th, at his home in rural Cropsey. Private visitation will be from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, June 10th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. A memorial service will follow at 7 p.m. at the funeral home. A private burial will be held at St. John's Lutheran Cemetery in Anchor at a later date. Memorials contributions may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church in Anchor. Diane Weisenbarn, Paxton. Diane G. Weisenbarn, 91, of Paxton, died at 3:19 a.m. Tuesday, April 28th, at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. Funeral services were at 1 p.m. Saturday, May 2nd, at Bayer Family Funeral Services in Paxton, with the Reverend Pat Allen officiating. Burial followed in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to the PBL Booster Club or a local animal rescue organization of the donor's choice. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.